Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal with hosts Meredith DeFrancesco and Amy Brown. Today we'll be talking about coyote snaring. One of our guests today will sound very familiar to WERU listeners. She is Susan Cockrell, the former host, along with Cherie Mason, of a wildlife journal and the current writer, producer, and voice of Next of Kin, which is heard here on WERU on Wednesday mornings during Morning Maine. She's been an advocate for animals for more than 35 years and was involved in two history-making animal welfare ballot initiatives in Colorado, one to stop the spring bear hunt and the baiting and hounding of bears, and the other making the use of leg hold traps, snares, and poisons on Colorado wildlife unconstitutional. Susan Cockrell has a graduate degree in environmental policy from the College of Natural Resources at Colorado State University and teaches women's studies at University of Maine at Orono, and in her free time decided to come in and join us today. Welcome, Susan.
Thank you.
And we also... Okay. And we also have Daryl DeJoy joining us today. Daryl is the owner of Penobscot Solar and a registered Maine guide and a licensed wildlife rehabilitator for the past 8 years. He's also an animal rights activist and the unofficial head of the group that's been working to address the snaring issue. Welcome, Daryl.
Thanks, Amy. Thanks for having us.
Welcome.
Yeah, thanks both of you for being here. The coyote snaring issue has been controversial for quite a while. Why don't we dive in by just defining terms? What is a snare? What are we talking about?
Well, essentially, snaring coyotes involves putting a wire noose, traditionally with a stop on it, on an animal trail to target a specific animal. The animal strangles to death.
And what is the controversy surrounding coyote snaring in particular?
Well, snares are like leg hold traps in that they're very indiscriminate. Any animal traveling that trail that has the bad luck of stepping into the noose will trip the noose. And the more they struggle, the tighter the noose pulls, and eventually they will strangle themselves to death. The timing on this, the ideal, they say, is that an animal will strangle to death between 5 and 15 minutes. If you can imagine anything as horrible as that. Unfortunately, it doesn't always work that way.
The truth of the matter is actually, and this is according to a study that was sort of unofficially done by Inland Fisheries and Wildlife, it can take up to 3 days for a coyote to die. We have autopsy reports that were done by the Inland Fisheries and Wildlife, not independent of them, that show 60% of the animals died far slower than what they were supposed to, and largely from hemorrhaging. Many of them had broken teeth, missing limbs even. So obviously they're ineffective.
And other animals you mentioned, Susan, are caught in the traps as well, including endangered species?
Before they put a stop on the loop, animals such as lynx and eagles and have been reported to have been killed in snares. They put stops on the loops to stop this, meaning that it would stop until before it got to a certain width, meaning that a smaller animal could escape, and that would let an animal that is usually smaller than a coyote escape from the loop. The stops are one of the reasons that it takes so long for the coyotes to die, because it stops the squeezing mechanism and it holds it back. So this year, because they have expanded the program, they've decided to take the stops off. So the eagles and the lynx now are back endangered. I want to make it clear, though, that the people who are working to end the coyote snaring program are opposed to snaring of any animal for any reason. We are not going to differentiate between target and non-target animals. Some people are willing to say, well, if they're targeting coyotes and killing coyotes with snares, and that's what they catch, that's okay. But that is not okay with us, because we don't think there is such a thing as a bad animal that deserves this kind of treatment by humans. So our opposition is to all snaring of any animal, target or not.
I mean, clearly they get porcupines, raccoons, turkeys even, just any animal that happens along that trail, and is unfortunate enough to put its neck or foot into the snare.
People's cats and dogs?
Absolutely.
Of course, yes.
So what is the purpose of the coyote snaring program? I assume they're saying that it's keeping predators in balance. Well, what's the official line, and then you can tell us what you believe.
Well, the official line is that, according to Inland Fisheries and Wildlife, because coyotes need to eat, that in the wintertime they will affect the deer wintering grounds. In other words, when they're hungry, they'll go in and they'll take deer, therefore affecting the deer population in the state of Maine, which according to them is not large enough already. Although what I see is it depends on what time of year they're talking about. They'll say either we have too many deer or too few deer. The actual reason, in my opinion, and I believe in our group's opinion in general, and actually we have, I don't know whether I should go into this right now or not, but we have a memorandum from one of the state regional wildlife biologists, Chuck Halsey, dated November 8th, 2001, to his boss, Ken Elo, who's the head of the Bureau of Resource Management, stating that his belief, not only in the fact that the coyote population or that the coyote program is ineffective, but that it's driven solely by the Maine Trappers Association and by the Sportsmen's Alliance of Maine. And he states why he thinks that, and it's a very, very fascinating memo, and we're really lucky to have gotten it. It sort of has spurred us on to know that there are people working for the state who can look objectively at this so-called problem and see that it's actually not.
And there are people who consider trapping to be recreation, fun, right? I mean, that could that be one possible reason why those groups support it?
Well, that's basically it. The reason, it is true that coyotes will take deer, and in nature, predators and prey are a natural natural part of the circle. The problem is that it isn't that they're taking so many deer. It's just that they're taking deer that hunters might otherwise take. And that's just appalling to me, that for the recreational pursuit of man, we feel we should kill an animal who's only trying to survive in the natural way that animals do survive.
Do we have a number on how many coyote may be taken in Maine? Do we have an idea of the numbers?
A thousand or two. I mean, they're probably very poor records. I can't remember what IFNW's statistics are, but we don't believe that all coyotes' killings are reported.
Are they required to report? But they're not.
They're not. Sometimes they're tagged. Snarers, if they want to get paid by the hour, they'll have to have the coyotes tagged. But people kill coyotes as if they are rodents or flies. I mean, that's how casually they're killed.
That's legal.
And that's legal.
And it's very important to note that the state spends – now, the Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife is really under severe budgetary constraints right now. They're really having a lot of problems with their budget. And yet $20,000 a year of their budget goes to just to this snaring program, to this ineffective program.
In what way? What do they spend money on? To administrative costs or bureaucratic?
They pay the snarers. They pay them by the hour. And that's so they do bring the coyotes in and have them tagged in order to be paid.
And realize this money comes from fees paid for licenses. Unfortunately, even my guide's license, unfortunately, I'm paying for part of this program. And anyone else who's a licensed guide, and I should mention that we have a lot of people who are hunters who are against this program. It's not just a bunch of tree-hugging activists, which we've been labeled before.
Not that there's anything wrong with those.
Wrong with that. But it's just really important to understand that these are citizens that are against this, and they're lawyers and they're hunters, and there are even some trappers that are against this because it gives a bad name even to trapping
if you can do that. I want to back up just a little bit and tell you that this coyote snaring program is about 20 years old. It was instigated as an animal damage control program to protect certain deer yards that were known to be predated upon by coyotes, certain areas where they felt the deer were in jeopardy of their numbers being cut down too low. But slowly, and Chuck Hulsey talks about this in his memo, this program has been expanded and liberalized so that it's taken on a life of its own and it's become a season, a full season on coyotes. And he objects to this as a biologist because all other hunting seasons have to have public input. And the snaring season on coyotes has, as I say, taken off on a life of its own. It does not require any kind of public input. So this just works independent of all the mechanisms that that citizen owners of wildlife, if anyone can own wildlife, which I'm not sure we can, but we are technically the owners of wildlife. We have no input into how this happens. Activists have been writing to the legislature for years trying to get this stopped by stopping the funding, thinking that if they could stop the funding, they could stop the program. And these important things, some important things happened this year that sort of gave us some impetus to get together, a group of us get together and really go full tilt and, you know, try to make a statement about how we feel this program needs to be ended. First of all, this study that Daryl mentioned where they found out that the coyotes were not dying as quickly as they had thought, which almost any animal advocate could have told them that. We've known always that snares are the cruelest way for animals to die, possibly compared with strychnine, I would say, would be right up there with that in terms of agonizing, prolonged death. And the second thing was that this memo from Chuck Hulsey surfaced. And the third thing was that the legislature, Maine State Legislature, mandated that the program be expanded to kill more coyotes. It was encouraged the harvest of more coyotes was the exact wording of that. So we felt that with this evidence and the fact that more pressure was on to kill coyotes, that
When was that
this
request?
All happened in the fall and in the winter.
Okay.
So we felt that the time was right to start a full pressure on the legislature. We started telling everyone we could think of to write letters, to call their legislators, to email them, and to put pressure on. We got very little response from most of the legislators. There were a few who expressed outrage, and in fact, many have expressed outrage privately. Along with many biologists from IFNW who express outrage privately but won't speak out about it. This is a classic case of people protecting themselves and not being willing to stick their necks out. Chuck Hulsey, in my opinion, is the hero of the year because he was willing to stick his neck out on this.
The problem that we have is that we have a legislative committee overseeing IFNW that's composed largely of hunters, trappers, pro-hunters, pro-trappers. And so essentially we have the fox guarding the hen house. We have a situation where all this legislative committee has to do is recommend and ought to pass, and because our legislature tends to be so overwhelmed with so many bills, well, they see this ought to pass from this legislative committee that's very pro-hunting, pro-trapping, pro-killing everything that there's a season for. And I mean largely. I don't mean every single person. I don't want the couple people that are on that committee that are, in my opinion, reasonable to call and say that they're not. But that's the problem that we have. We have people who are essentially, in my opinion, anti-wildlife, or that they see wildlife as something to harvest, overseeing our wildlife.
Or nuisance. That's the other. They're either something that is valuable to humans because it can be harvested like deer, or something that's a nuisance like coyotes, which interferes then with the harvest of deer. And judging wildlife in that way, we feel, is unjust. And that hunters and others who feel they have a right to harvest wildlife because it's there for their use fail to see that other animals also have a right. They have a place in the food chain, and they have a right to harvest and to take part in the food chain. And this seems to be something that some people, for instance, the Sportsman's Alliance of Maine, wants to get between. I think that this is so ironic because often people who are animal rights activists or animal advocates are often thought to be Bambi lovers or can't stand the thought of animals dying. And yet, in this particular issue, you find hunters writing into the newspapers saying, if you ever have seen a coyote killing a deer, you'd know that it's not cruel, the way that snares kill coyotes. And it's amazing to me because it's very interesting to me that they don't see that as a part of nature. Nature is harsh, but I don't believe that nature is cruel, which means that there's an intent there.
You mean the coyotes don't have guns?
Coyotes don't have guns.
There's a true, difference between someone shooting a deer for recreation and a coyote eating. And the fact that they don't see that it isn't that simple for them just shows that we're essentially arguing with a group with huge self-interest. And they're really not looking at nature as nature is. I mean, nature is predators and prey, and unfortunately, it's just the circle of life, and they're not willing to accept that. Anything that interferes with their recreation is to be done away with, and in this case, it's a coyote.
I think it's important for us to also put in here that it is pretty common knowledge now. It used to be kind of an esoteric wildlife biology type fact that efforts to kill and eradicate coyotes, which has been going on for 150 years, have only resulted in the spread and increase in numbers of coyotes. Just about everybody knows now, every school child knows how ecosystems work, and everybody knows now that the more you try to kill coyotes, the more there are of them. They respond to efforts to kill them by having larger litters. Their litters are healthier. They breed at an earlier age. So that this is exactly why we have more coyotes in Maine, is because of the eradication programs. I moved here from the West some years ago, and I can tell you that the eradication programs out there have done nothing but cause exploding coyote populations. And the difference in the West and Maine is that the coyotes are killed in the West mainly to protect livestock. They're sheep farmers and that sort of thing. And by the way, I do want to say that our illustrious engineer, Helen York, is a sheep farmer, and she said that she doesn't like snaring either. She sent us a note to say that, so I want to get that one in. But the sheep farmers in the West and the cattlemen in the West encouraged killing of coyotes wholesale because of livestock problems. When I first moved here and I found out about the coyote snaring program, I called IFNW and asked them, why are they snaring coyotes and killing coyotes? And I said, is it to protect livestock? And the man who answered the phone said, no, we don't get too many complaints about livestock predation here. They'd say 2 to 3% of our calls on nuisance wildlife have to do with coyotes killing livestock. And so he said that's not really an issue. So it's rather bizarre. In contrast, it seems more understandable to me for people to be concerned about coyotes killing their livestock than it is about hunters not wanting competition in their hunting season. And it seems not sporting and completely unfair to think that a hunter wants many more deer than they can possibly kill. As we all know, the deer herd in Maine has never been more robust. The roadkill numbers have never been higher. And the hunter population is shrinking, and it shrunk by 14% last fall. There were 14% fewer hunters in the woods. So the concern of trying to keep the deer herd numbers bolstered up to provide many more opportunities than the hunting community can take advantage of is equally bizarre. I mean, when you look at this program from every direction, it gets more and more bizarre.
And their argument, first I want to say that where most of this goes on is up in Washington County, and a lot in the unincorporated territories. But what's important to understand is that the range of the white-tailed deer, that area is about the upper 10% of the white-tailed deer. They only go up about 10% more from their total range. And so it's important to understand that in that upper 10%, there are going to be less deer anyway. And if I can quote one of these 14 bulleted points by Chuck Halsey in his memorandum, he says, "Singly, the most important factor limiting deer numbers where populations are below levels desired by the public is availability of quality winter shelter. A local deer population will usually be at a level commensurate with available habitat. The influence that coyote-caused deer mortality has in adding to all-cause deer mortality is often given far more weight than it deserves." And essentially what's happening in Washington County is because they're cutting out a lot of the winter deer yards for firewood and for pulp. So when you reduce these winter deer yards, the deer have no place to go and they die in the winter. They're also more open to coyote predation because they're out in the open. There's no shelter. And, you know, this is a quotation from a man whose job is to manage the wildlife and habitat in the state of Maine. He's not self-concerned with because he's a hunter. He's not on our side because he's an activist. He's just doing his job.
We've got just a few minutes left, so want to try to get each of you to maybe leave people with a thought that you want them to take with them, and also some ideas about what you're doing, how people can get involved, what you need for help.
What I'd like to do first is, I'm going to leave my telephone number. I can be reached at my office during the daytime at 326-0779 for anyone who'd like. Let me go back for a second. One of the things that we're doing is gathering petitions, signatures on petitions, and anyone who would like to carry a petition to help us get them filled out or to even sign a petition, feel free to give me a call if you'd like to help in any way.
And that number again?
326-0779.
Daryl DeJoy.
That's at Penobscot Solar. Yes, that's at my office. As well, if anyone has any legal expertise and would be willing to help us from a legal standpoint, I'd really appreciate any information or help that we could get from them as well. We're working on several things from a legal standpoint. I don't want to go into any more specifics, but this is very much a political battle, unfortunately. If it were one of just common sense, we'd have won a long time ago. This is a political battle, and our letters to the governor have gone unanswered. Our letters to the heads of IFNW essentially are returned with form letters, just a sort of form letter that we get back with. They do sign them, though. That's nice of them.
Last thoughts, Susan.
Well, I just want to say that that I think it's important for us to start questioning how wildlife management goals for our Inland Fisheries and Wildlife Department got so out of sync with what I consider to be mainstream values. This is not wild-eyed animal rights sentiment. This is a question of fairness and justice, and we feel that coyotes have a right to be there and that all animals are valuable. And you hear me say that on Next of Kin all the time. Mm-hmm. Every single animal is valuable, and we can't take a vendetta against individual animals. So I also would like to give my telephone number if someone would like to call me, 843-9023, and we will direct your call in any way that we can and help you take part in this. We would love to hear from people.
Susan Cockrell. Thank you.
If I could just say one more thing, we are backed strongly by the Humane Society of the United States, and Maine Friends of Animals has been a huge help with us as well, and we're even getting the Audubon Society on our side a little bit now, so
yeah,
slowly but surely.
Great. Thank you both for being
Thank
here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Wild ones. snake, like a lizard laying nose to ground. Never alone, we are not ourselves. Spread your toes, spread your fingers, lay your body down. On the scent of the wild ones, you walked here before us. On the scent of the wild ones.
That was Joanne Rand with, and the Little Big Band with Never Alone. You've been listening to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal. I'm Amy Brown.
And I'm Meredith DeFrancesco.
We'd like to thank our guests today, Susan Cockrell and Daryl DeJoy. We'd like to thank Helen York for engineering, Andy Buckley for a multitude of behind-the-scenes work that he does for Radioactive, and you for listening and acting. You can reach us here at WERU or by emailing radioactivenews@hotmail.com. You can listen to archived Radioactive programs on our website, which is www.freespeech.org/RAN or at mainindymedia.org. Join us again next Thursday and stay tuned now for Free Speech Radio News followed by Democracy Now!